At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Live from the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the Tuna Country Matt Kemp. And bellied up to the bar, as always, a man who wants to know if you can smell what he is cooking, the fabulous one, Freddie Benders.
I'd like to put my aforementioned foot in your butt.
I'm thinking ribs.
Yeah, let's do it.
Some good Kansas City ribs.
Fellas, how are we doing tonight?
Great.
Any better to be doing something illegal there, Travis.
It's getting closer to Derby Week, so every week is fun in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, we are approaching the official kickoff to all the Derby festivities here in Louisville this weekend with Thunder over Louisville. Speaking to the local audience briefly, I do want to thank everybody that reached out and gave us feedback on last week's show. I was a little concerned about what we might hear from people after the open last week, but overwhelmingly, it was positive, and I want to thank everybody for reaching out.
I just want to say every person that I spoke to had nothing but great things to say about your open last week, Travis. It was very, very well done, very eloquent, and Frederick and myself could not speak on levels that you did last week, and I really do appreciate that.
Yep. Well, that's awesome. And I appreciate that, and we're going to get right past that and get into the fun stuff this week, because this week we are back on all the fun stuff. We've got NBA playoffs to get to. We've got the
Which, speaking of in NBA playoffs, there's somebody hurt right now. He's limping. And this
that's Joel Embiid.
This is like the World Cup, guys. Like, NBA... there's somebody hurt every 2 seconds.
Right, right. But and he's gimpy anyways. I feel like he's hurt all the time.
All the time.
And I think it's interesting.
God, did you see that play?
Yeah, he's limping right now, but I guarantee he just does a monster dunk on somebody in 2 minutes from now.
A lot of those injuries early in this first round were all happened while people were drawing charging fouls, which is a conversation for possibly another time. But we have the NBA playoffs, we have the XFL winding down, we have Derby, really, you know, basically the all the preps are over, and it's really time to start looking towards that. For some of my Indiana friends, there were cars on the track at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway today for an open test, so that's always welcome.
Any Kias on the track today?
There were no Kias.
Oh, well, suck it, Kia. You didn't make the cut.
I thought, I do want to mention, before we get started, that we are on social media, on Twitter, at Blockout Pod, on Facebook, just type into your search engine, Blockout Sports Pod, and you can always email the show blockoutpod@gmail.com.
And I want to reiterate Blockout Sports Pod, because if you go to Blockout Pod, it's something completely different, and I have no idea what's going on the regular Blockout Pod.
That is correct. This is the one that you all want to listen to anyway.
Absolutely.
And if you all do enjoy the podcast, which I assume if you are listening right now, you do, please tell a friend. Leave us a review if you can, or give us a follow on Facebook or on Twitter. With that being said, the NBA playoffs are underway after all the play-in games and everything like that. Now, and I want to get to a few different things relative to the NBA playoffs, but Fred, just quickly, what are your thoughts about what we've seen so far and what you might see going forward here through the first round?
Well, I mean, I think there have been some really fun games. I mean, the Kings series with Golden State has been an absolute blast. It's kind of funny how when a young team makes it and they get there 1 year, maybe the second year, teams like the Kings, the T-Wolves, the Hawks, how they get into that playoff mode and they find their enforcers, if you will, the guys that won't take no crap. You have to have them.
Or get stomped on the
chest. If you're going to move into the playoffs, you have to have guys that are willing to hate. And I know this NBA now is a different NBA where players are buddies more so than back in the day, which I never liked. But now you've got some of these teams that are young and, buddy, they're coming in and trying to take what they think is theirs, and I'm having a lot of fun with it.
I will say the Kings team has been fun to watch. That team, you know, De'Aaron Fox may be the fastest human being I've ever seen with a basketball.
Up and down.
He's fun to watch play. Yeah, I don't know. I've enjoyed, me personally, watching Denver play a little bit. Like, and if anybody's listening to this podcast, they know that I know more about NBA than Charles Barkley himself. So, no, honestly, I don't know shit about the NBA. I never really have, never really will. But I do enjoy watching the playoffs just as a gambling person. And right now is the time where I'm consuming a lot of the first round so I know who to gamble on in the coming steps.
And
speaking just
of
watching
gambling,
Denver, yeah.
Speaking of gambling on the NBA, I feel like, and I'm going to say this right now because this game does not start until 10 o'clock tonight as we record this. It's 9. I feel like you could take the Warriors -1,000 tonight.
Yeah.
I feel like that's so far the lock of the NBA playoffs.
You know, a lot of people are jumping on them right now to win the series because you're actually getting plus money. It's close. I think it's only plus 120, and I'm not accurate on that number. It depends on what sports book you use. But to win that series, I think that seems to be the bet to go with. But Draymond Green's out tonight. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Why are we jumping on the Warriors to win that game?
Because I feel like down 0-2, a proud team, they are going to find. It would not surprise me if Steph Curry doesn't have one of his
super nights,
like 50-point type of ball game.
See, tonight. I'm on the opposite end of this. Just from what I've seen, I feel like they're going to capitalize on Green not being there, and the Warriors are going to keep their foot on the throat and go up 3-0 here.
I'm seeing both of your points. And I'm thinking about someone has to come up big, obviously, on Golden State's bench. But I'm with Travis just because Sacramento's a young team and they are up 2-0. And I just think Golden State, Steve Kerr has something up his pocket or up his sleeve to get something going with this team that they've been working on. I'm not quite sure. It could be Looney. Kevon Looney could have a really good game for Golden State.
Never heard that name before in my life.
I'll put it to you this way. They're either going to play their best game of the series tonight
mm-hmm.
and win by 20, or they're going to get swept.
I'm with you.
I don't think there's any in between. If they get beat tonight, they're going to get swept.
How many games is Draymond out for? Is it just the one?
I thought
it was just one.
Okay, so just one.
I thought it was just
one. I thought what he did didn't look that, obviously it was egregious, but.
He's just got that.
With it, and I always liked Draymond Green. What was it, Michigan State he played for?
Yeah. He's going to try to get away with anything he can.
No, I'm with you, and he's gotten away with much worse in the past, I thought. I don't know.
But once you get labeled, dude.
I'm with you. You know, I'm with you there. I feel like it was a little bit ridiculous
like
to maybe
or Lambeer
suspend
or
him, but whatever
whoever.
With that.
I saw a couple of I don't really have an opinion on it one way or the other because we all, especially Freddie and I, come from an era in the NBA where that would have literally just been a play on.
I'm with you guys there. That's back when I was part of that era myself.
But it's not like that anymore. But I also saw somebody that said, had he punched him in the stomach rather than stomped on him, it's an automatic suspension, period, end of story. So what difference does it make whether he used his fist or his foot?
I've seen Christian Laettner do way worse. I'm just saying. Christian Laettner did way worse. So.
Well, that was 30 years ago, too,
yeah,
when that
it was.
Kind of stuff was more of a play-on type of scenario. Obviously, you're talking about college ball.
I want to say, looking ahead, that this series that's brewing in the East versus Philly and Boston is going to be one hell of a series. It's unfortunate it won't be at the end, but obviously the Bucks have earned that right for the last few years. And they've got their own little battle with Miami.
Speaking of the Bucks, what's the status with Giannis? Because it's a back, correct?
Yeah,
I feel like you can suck it up through a back injury. Man. Like all these hand injuries I've seen, that's a little bit different game. But a back injury, I feel like there's enough stuff you can shoot into your back from a medical aspect to play.
But I don't think they feel like they need him just yet. I mean,
I don't know, dude. I wouldn't sleep on
that. They had with Connaughton and all them was unbelievable.
Like I said, I don't know the NBA like you guys do, but I know Eric Spoelstra is a great head coach, and I don't know if I would sleep on him.
No, I'm with you. I mean,
Tyler Hero's out with a hand injury.
Right, he's hurt.
He broke his hand.
He's out.
Right, so I just see that whoever comes out of the Boston Philly, I think is going to be going with Milwaukee. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. And then in the, I really think this in the West, that I'm kind of liking the Kings to come out of there and the Nuggets. I'm thinking that it might be Nuggets versus Kings in the Western Conference
Finals.
See,
I'm big on the Nuggets. Watching the Nuggets play, I feel like is a different level than watching other NBA teams play.
Yeah.
When you
have Jokic, it makes a difference, but they've
He's really good, but they've got some bruisers on that team.
They've got some finesse on that team.
And they seem to play as a one unit. And that's something that got me, somebody that doesn't watch a lot of NBA, tuning in and watching the Nuggets play. It seemed like this gorgeous brand of orchestrated basketball that you just don't see enough of.
And I'm a real sucker for any of the original ABA teams.
There you go.
And I loved the Nuggets back in the day when Alex English played there. He was my original
scorer.
Yeah, he was my original favorite NBA player that didn't play for the Pacers. I loved Alex English, and I loved if I was over at my aunt and uncle's house who had cable TV, and we could get one of their games on. Well, I forget at what channel. Maybe it was on TBS back then or something.
Channel 11.
I loved their uniforms.
The W.
ABC.
I loved him. So I would
Fat Lever.
Yes. So I would love that with some new blood in the West. Two different teams. That would be, I think that would be awesome. Yeah,
Denver definitely has more established weapons. I mean, now you got Murray coming back from injuries the last 2 years, getting hot when he needs to. I mean, they've got some pieces.
So all this talk, you guys got $100 to put down on a future to win the Western Conference Finals. What team is it?
I'm taking Denver.
I'm taking Denver also. I'm right there with you, Frederick.
Thanks for calling me Frederick.
Well, I figure you.
It's very formal here tonight.
I'm being formal.
Travis, who do you like in the West?
My opinion has changed because last week I believe I said something to the effect that since the Lakers were in, I wouldn't bet against LeBron. But now I'm going to bet against LeBron.
Attaboy.
And I'm going to take Denver.
Attaboy. Oh, full-on Denver sweep.
Well, I love it. Well,
this
now,
is like
hey,
a Washington Husky hey, all over
to,
again,
hey,
guys.
To continue the NBA, let's go to the East Coast Conference here, or the Eastern Conference.
Sure.
Let's see who we I know we've kind of talked about the East already.
I have to be honest with you.
Someone they like.
Breaking down the East Conference, I haven't seen as much from a team that I would like to be like, I'm all in on that team. But I'll pick a team for this stake.
Okay, well, that's what we're doing it right now. You want me to give you mine?
Yes.
Yes.
I am taking Philadelphia.
Okay.
And
that's where
the reason I am, quickly, is I hate to bet against my boy Ike Celtics. Because I think they are the toughest team and probably the best. But there's something about Philly this year, as long as Embiid's healthy, or as healthy as he can be, that I think going to Philly is going to be tough back and forth. And I think with Milwaukee, I do think that the injury and the lingering things with
Giannis.
With Giannis, the freak, and Middleton still not being 110%.
Yeah.
He might be 90, but and I know they have weapons and I know they've been there, but I'm just going that route. I think Philly versus the Nuggets.
See, I'm with you on this one. See, we agree on this one. I'm with this where, like, I didn't know about this pseudo rivalry between Philly fans and Boston fans.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it goes to all sports. Philly people hate Boston people. Boston people hate Philly people. I had no idea.
And this goes back years
ago.
They're all Yankees to me. Screw them all. But on this one, I'm going with the Sixers.
Wow, we agreed to that.
Yeah, we dude.
Damn.
This scares the shit out of me. But I'm committed at this point. I love it. The Sixers owner just bought the Redskins, or is trying to buy the Redskins. Don't know what's happening there. But
legal reasons, that is the Commanders.
Oh, God,
that's
bless.
Right.
I said Redskins. Sorry to everyone.
Commanders.
The Washington NFL team. They just bought the Washington National Football Team.
Yes.
So, either way, ownership has a major hard-on right now. And I feel like they're committed and the players, I love this team. This Philly team's fun to watch.
Yes.
James Harden's skinny. He's not fat like he was in Houston.
I know.
He looks good. He's
never
making
plays
shots.
Good during the playoffs, though.
No, he's played good in these playoffs.
Kinda.
Like he, well, pretty well.
Okay.
And I love Joel Embiid. This is a fun Philly team, and I'm riding them to beat Boston. I want to see that Eastern Conference. It'd be the semis, wouldn't it? Because
yes.
Milwaukee would be the finals.
Right.
So,
right.
But I'm looking forward to seeing that matchup next round. So
I like your excitement.
Yeah. No, I'm getting into the NBA. Like, and it sucks because it's going on the same time as NHL playoff hockey, which we'll touch on in a minute if you guys want to. But there's really – I can't pronounce none of these Russian guys' names. So I don't know anybody. I just love watching the chaos that happens on the ice.
Me too.
Let's move on to Travis. Who are you going with?
I've got Boston.
Oh,
there you go. Good choice. Well, good choice.
I've got Boston. I've got Boston for a few different reasons. Most of them not anything analytical, mostly because of
Yeah, because
my heart.
Freddie and I's picks were all analytical.
Malcolm Brogdon, who came from the Pacers, was just named Sixth Man of the Year.
Yes.
And, man, he has
had
made
him
a,
on my fantasy
and
team
he has
my
made
sixth
a
man.
Huge difference in that squad.
Oh, totally. He's just a mature player.
I will say I like watching Marcus Smart play.
Yes.
He's a fun player.
Yes.
Dude,
because
Marcus Smart is a junkyard dog.
He digs, dude. He's a fun guy to watch.
I mean, he's one of the greatest defensive players in NBA history, in
Does
my
he
opinion.
Play like this on a season-long
yes.
basis?
He is a maniac.
Okay, because I'm missing something with him,
and
because
he
he's
hurt.
Fun.
He gets
Every
hurt,
argument that
off.
I have against NBA basketball, he disputes all of that.
Leaves
because
it
that
all
guy's
on the,
fun,
on the
man.
Court. Leaves it all on the court. He's kind of a Rodman type of player.
I agree,
smaller.
Totally. And he dyes his hair every game like Rodman.
That's true.
And don't you think that up and down the lineup, the Celtics have as many weapons as anybody, especially in the East? I mean, I feel like they're going to have, against most of these teams in the East, I think they're going to have three of the best five players on the court.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I could see that.
The big thing is the great Luke Kornet from Vanderbilt sits at the end of their bench. And he was a part of some really fun Vandy teams that I liked. So I really want him to get a ring this season.
I'll be honest with you. That guy could be running for president of the United States, and I wouldn't have a damn clue who he is. So, shout out Luke Kornet.
Yeah. And we will, obviously, we're going to be following the NBA playoffs as they progress. But I wanted to touch quickly, guys, on the XFL.
Oh, what a transition.
And
football.
And I know you guys probably have
monster weekend.
Some things to say about your particular teams. I'm just going to bow out of this because
DC.
Because the DC Defenders have home field locked up.
Well, la-di-da.
Throughout the playoffs. So this weekend, I think, is just going to be rest our guys and make sure we're ready.
I hope you don't rest your guys. You can't. You cannot rest your guys this weekend because those guys are trying to make a living. So they get out on that fucking field. Oh, God, I said F. But anyway, they get out on that field.
I can edit that.
Thank you. They get out on that field and they're going to put it all out there because they're trying to make the NFL. And I need the DC Defenders to win their game this weekend. That has to happen. You guys cannot lay down. As an Arlington Renegade fan, we're DC Defender fans through and through this weekend.
Well, I'll give you that. But I got to tell
you.
You
know that more than anybody.
I know.
Battlehawk guy. Call is the law.
I know. And
what happened to the caws this past weekend?
The Battlehawks were at
home. They're trending down.
38,000.
They're trending down.
And you know what?
38,000 is 2,000 less than was there last week.
Our quarterback is gimpy, has been hurt. Possible MVP candidate.
Soft.
MVP candidate for sure.
Soft.
Along with our wide receiver. But
well, I saw in the pregame video package, they called him the face of the XFL.
And his wife. Both of them are
Has
the
there
face
ever
of the
been
XFL.
A player more overhyped than A.J. Karen?
Well, A.J. Karen, let me explain something
Mick
to you.
Karen, not
A.J.
Karen.
A.J. McCarron has won two
yes, he's a Karen.
Championships in college. He has done well for teams. He's always been a great locker room guy, team leader for
just
the
like
Bengals.
Just like Luke Kornet, locker room guy.
The Bengals, the Falcons, the Chiefs. No, I'm can I talk about my team?
No.
Yes,
so,
please.
So, Saturday
please.
At noon, the Battle Hawks take on a team that have no dog in the fight, the Guardians.
Who beat Colin. The DC Defenders.
Okay, but we lost to the Sea Dragons. I'm telling you right now,
they're
top
a
to
team.
Bottom, the Sea Dragons are probably a better team than the Battle Hawks. They're finding their groove. They did get us at home, which stung a little bit. But Kaka, we are going to clinch over the Guardians. We are favored by 8.5, and I see it all happening. McCarron getting back into the niche with Shepherd, and our defense is going to pick up, and we're going to lock that playoff spot in.
It sounds like hopeful strings to me, man. I don't see it happening. I think you guys are up against the wall.
I'm going to say we win 24-10.
Okay. I will take that bet because as of right now, I believe you guys are a 1.5-point favorite.
Mm-mm. Plus 8.5.
Plus 8.5.
Minus 8.5.
Minus 8.5. Let's go to that because so, I think that's false.
Tuna, who does your team play this weekend? You've already said you need DC to win, but you haven't discussed what your team needs to
this
do.
This is an in-state battle between the Houston Roughnecks.
Oh, God.
And one of my favorite human beings to ever exist, Wade Phillips.
Yep, I love him too.
Who, Bob Stoops versus Wade Phillips, prime time.
No, I'm with you.
This has got the makings of a Super Bowl written all over it, boys.
Right. If only Bum was around.
Yes, I agree completely. The ghost of Bum will be in the crowd.
Speaking of Stoops, we were talking about something earlier. I want to get your input on how much fun Stoops is.
Watching Stoops work the sidelines and work the officials is maybe one of my funnest things that I've brought in myself from the NFL.
Right.
Watching XFL. XFL. I'm all over the place. But sitting there, I've been drinking, guys. I don't know what the fuck.
No, he's fine.
But you put on a game on Sunday, and you can watch Bob Stoops work the officials the way he does, and the way that he calls a game in that last 5 minutes, there's a reason he's called Big Game Stoops. The guy knows what he's doing.
Yes.
You may beat him 55 minutes out of a 60-minute game.
But he's going to fight every inch.
He's going to get you in those last five.
Right.
It's whether or not that score's close enough to where Bobby can get you. But that overtime game last week against the Defenders
may have been
one of the best XFL games of the season.
Oh, my Lord.
XFL comes out on
top.
I
hope y'all
DC
saw
Defenders
that.
Come out on top. XFL comes out on top, too, because it was fun to watch.
That was a great game.
But the way that Dean Blandino sits in that control booth and works those replays down and makes it
easy,
accessible for the everyday football, the non-everyday football
and
fan.
Yes.
We were actually talking about this before we started recording, and I said, I'm not sure that I have seen an XFL review that they got wrong.
No.
Which you can't say that about the NFL
week takes
to week.
Literally 2 minutes.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the transparency, and they've got the camera right there in the booth, and it's one guy, and Blandino says, show me these six angles of the same play, and bam, 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 okay, we've got a hold on 79. He calls it down. We've got a hold on 79. They call it, and then they go.
Right, and then you see the footage, they replay it, and you're like, yep, he was right.
And that's the thing, Dean Blandino, like, he does the same thing in NFL games. Where's that transparency at? Like, I wish the NFL would get to that level.
I know.
But
is it the crowd noise?
I just
want to
say,
is
this guy the most underappreciated guy in football, period?
Yeah.
Because we watch him, we hang on to every word he says, and he knows exactly what he's talking about on everything.
Well, they've certainly made him one of the stars of the XFL. Like,
and he should be.
He's a big deal. And another thing that I wanted to say about the XFL is that we kind of picked our teams at the beginning of the season, you know, lightheartedly and kind of laughing about it or whatever. But I have thoroughly enjoyed this XFL season.
Totally.
And the games have been fun, and the crowds are starting to get it. And I think the production side on television.
So is the public.
I feel like this is starting to build some momentum, and it's not.
I don't think
be...
it's going anywhere.
No,
it's
I don't
not.
Either.
Dude,
I wear my Battlehawks jersey. People come up to me, and I'm waiting for them to go, "What is that?" And they come up to me, and go, "Ha! I like the Battlehawks jersey."
Yeah,
like they know who it is.
And
they
what
know
about,
who it is.
What about whoever it was calling the game, the Defenders and the Renegades game last week? I don't know who it was. at the end of the game, he screams at the top of his lungs and says, XFL, it's not going anywhere, folks. Like, that enthusiasm.
I love that ESPN. The guy on ESPN, the guy that used to be the number one, kind of the lead commentator? He does a lot of the games, a lot of them. What's his name?
I don't know. They got that guy from the
Final Four.
They got that guy from the SEC that calls a lot of the games, SEC Network. Right. Tom Hart. Tom Hart does a great job.
The guy I'm talking about,
man,
is the main dude from ESPN, like the guy that does SportsCenter. No, he does literally SportsCenter stuff.
I don't know,
stuff.
Man. There's
not Kevin Nugandhi, but the other guy.
Dari Nota.
Anyways, he's really good at calling games, and he has called a lot of the XFL games, and he thinks that the Sea Dragons are the best team.
Well, I'll take his word for it.
Matt
Fascursion?
No, just Matt Fox or Matt somebody. I mean, it's a
Matthew
Berry. No,
he's fantasy football.
Yeah,
no,
but
no,
he,
there's
but
a no.
He does
different Matthew Berry.
No,
different.
He's a color commentator.
Yeah,
Matthew Berry
is the guy I'm talking about.
I feel like you guys are
ESPN.
Wrong on this,
no,
but I may be wrong.
That's a different fantasy guy, different person.
There's a Matthew. I don't. Okay, well, I'll take your all's word for it because I don't. I don't know that guy.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to check this. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
And we're back, and we are here to genuflect to Tuna, who is absolutely correct.
Bring it to me, boys.
It is not, in fact, Matthew Berry, the fantasy football guy. It is Matt Berry Barry.
B-A-R-R-I-E.
Who does the XFL games.
And he's good, and he's also SportsCenter, the main guy on SportsCenter and all that.
So. Let's be honest. Our listeners know that I'm always right. Like, anytime we're talking about something, they know where I'm right, so this is not a shock to them.
So are we done
Sorry
with XFL? We got our picks. We know what's getting ready to happen. Everybody,
yeah. I just know that I'll
stay
see,
tuned.
I'll see whoever comes out of you guys's chaos weekend. Mm-hmm. We'll see you in the playoffs.
Looking forward to it. Renegades for life.
Ka-ka.
Now, we are inching ever closer to the Kentucky Derby. And Fred, I know the preps are all over. We are going to absolutely get into the weeds with this stuff next week. But I just wanted to know if you had just a couple horses, maybe a couple horses that aren't on everybody's radar that you might be looking at.
I'm going to jump in for a second because I have a horse.
Okay.
I have a horse.
Oh, get in the gate, Bubba. Get in the gate, Tuna.
I'm not a big horseman, but I do watch a few races here and there because Freddie talks me into it, and I like to gamble. So there's a horse that I love that goes by the name of Tappet Trice that won the Bluegrass Stakes last week.
Yes, yes, and a great run.
And the reason I love this horse, if you've seen this horse, he's huge. He's massive. He's the Brock Lesnar of horses. Right. And I want my horses to look like they have done steroids because let's face it, there's drugs in horse racing. Performance enhancing, it's happened. This horse, his head is bigger than Jose Canseco's. This horse's body, it's bigger than the state of Rhode Island.
For legal reasons, we have to say that it's allegedly there are drugs in horse racing.
Yeah, right. I've heard there was.
It's allegedly.
Allegedly asked Bob Baffert.
But allegedly. But speaking of Bob Baffert and Tappet Trice, you can compare him to a past Derby champion that was a pretty large horse that was kind of a little, if you want to say green, meaning he wasn't a full season Derby prep horse, and that would be Authentic. And that's who I compare Tappet Trice to. I mean, he could be as big as Big Brown. I haven't seen him on the backside yet, but I'll let you know.
He's bigger than Point Given.
Okay,
and Point Given was one of the biggest horses I've ever seen.
Yes, he
that
was
horse's
huge.
Muscles had muscles, and those muscles had a few muscles.
Yes, yes. But so Tappet Trice, Tuna has a great horse on Tappet Trice. I'm assuming that he'll probably go down as the third choice thus far. We'll see what happens based on post positions. And all that, which is obviously very huge in the Derby when you have so many horses running. They've kind of figured out the starting gate situation, and now some of those problems no longer exist. But if you get in the one hole, you're in trouble if you're a certain style horse.
Right.
I'll tell you what, tonight maybe we'll hit on a couple X-Factor horses because we kind of know the big dogs, Forte, Practical Move, Tappet Trice, Angel of Empire, Derma Satakate, that are all horses that are going to be the top five hitters on the board early on. But I've got a few, a couple horses that I think we do need to discuss that you can get some good money on these horses. I'm talking. For your bet, you're getting, you're gonna get more money if you bet them. And
so hold on, I gotta stop you right there because every time I hear when people are breaking down Derby races, this horse has great value. Great value basically means you're gonna lose your money. And
no, that's like a long shot to me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on great value, and there's a long shot chance it's going to come in. But I feel like people always talk about this is a value horse, you got to bet him. This is a value horse, you got to bet him.
Right.
And those horses seem to never come in, for me, personally.
But a value horse for me is I'm a person that I'm not scared of the chalk. Mm-hmm. I bet the chalk. If I like the horse, I bet it. But if there's one that's also chalk that might not be 4-5 or something ridiculous.
Well, you're not
going
to get 4-5 in the Derby.
Well,
anyway.
Forte's not going to be 4-5, but he'll go off pretty high. I would say maybe 9-2. But I'm talking about a horse that's right off of him, like maybe 6-1 that has an equal chance to beat him, but will have better odds.
Okay.
And that horse, the first horse I'm going to mention is Verifying.
Finished second to Tappet Trice,
yes,
correct?
Finished second in a great battle. And a lot of people go back to his last race. He was very well thought of. And then he had this race in the slop, and he had trouble out of the gate, and he had obviously the cliche bad trip. But coming out of that next race to do what he did is really tells a lot to me. And I think that horse, talk about getting a good price. I'm thinking 12-1 maybe. And that is really good odds when you're talking about horses in the Derby. I'm going to go with two more here. And Mage. Mage is a horse, guys, that is really coming on strong, that could be like a buzz horse in, on the backside, Derby week. Mage has had a first, a third, and a second, and he's a front runner. And, folks, this is how I think about Derby horses. You can throw out last year when the pace was absolutely ridiculous, and you still had Zandon and some other horses that were closers come in. Epicenter was the favorite. He got second.
Right.
But if you get Crown Royal and them screwed up, they got
Crown
in the
Royal.
Way, they pulled up, and Rich Strike was able to make that move when those horses bunched around that first, second turn. I think what you need to look for in the Derby is front runners. That race is finished way quicker than you think, even though it is a longer race than they've all ran, except for Derma Satakake. But
I just love you pronounce that different every time.
But
you
I'm
going to
tell you,
I think you
horses like
lasso.
Medina
this
Spirit
lasso was money.
Horses that are pressers, that are pressers, and that are up at the front, not the chase horse, but the second and third horses. Mage is going to be one of those horses. The Tappet Trice is so big that sometimes he can't get out of the damn gate.
And you've been on Mage this entire time.
Yeah, he's just a speed horse.
We've talked about him several times.
I mean, I love Angel of Empire, but we're not going to get into the favorites. But Mage, as far as a buzz horse, is definitely someone that is a front runner that's up in the front. And if they don't get around and horses get in the way, he's going to keep going. Guys, I'm telling you.
See, I think horse racing,
verifying is right there, and then I think that the third horse that I'm going to mention, and that'll be the end of these three X factors, is a horse called King's Barnes, and that's a Pletcher horse.
We haven't talked about him at all. So
no, King's Barnes.
Fill us in.
King's Barnes has won one Derby prep, and he's coming first. Okay, in the last 8 weeks, this is a horse that's a Pletcher number 2, 3, maybe number 4, that is dangerous. He's dangerous. He's going to be up there, too, in the stalker position, and no one knows much about him. He ran a great race. He's been having good works. These three horses, in Mage, and in King's Barnes and Verifying are three horses that everybody needs to start looking at. Okay.
See, when it comes to horse racing, I feel like everyone overthinks it. And if you just basically break it down like this and say, I'm going to take this horse and I'm going to put him in an octagon against this other horse, who's going to win in that octagon? And I take Tappet Trice in an MMA fight against any other horse in that field.
That is certainly a new way to look at
that's you guys
handicapping.
Any other way of handicapping is overthinking it, and I'm correct.
Okay.
So let's go with that.
Folks, use that advice at your own risk. This advice is for entertainment purposes only.
And, folks, we're going to get into some great Derby stories moving forward on the backside. I don't know
with horses or with like us being
aware,
drunk in the infield.
If you were into horse racing, especially Derby week, going on the backside, and I'm talking not Dawn at the Downs, the backside where the horses and all the workers behind the scenes are at, if you ever have a chance to do that, I highly recommend going back there. You will have Derby fever in no time, and you will find your horse, especially when he's being washed off and looking at you.
And Fred and I have done that for the last several years, and it never gets old, and it's always a great privilege to be able to do that.
Only the true horsemen go back there, and that's all they want to talk about.
Yep.
It's not the bathrooms back there.
No.
Is that not what the true horsemen want to talk about?
No.
Because I've been back there, and I've been in those bathrooms. And let's just say, no, there's something going on back there.
Yeah, they've updated the bathrooms since then.
So. And we will obviously get way deeper into the Derby.
Bathrooms.
No, we will not get deeper into the bathrooms. We will get deeper
because we need to talk, Travis, eventually about how the paddock has changed. And
of
there's
course.
So many different
of
things
course.
To talk about. But there, that just gives y'all three horses to start looking at that aren't in the top five.
I wanted to touch quickly on a story out of Major League Baseball this week. A storied franchise in Major League Baseball is apparently going to relocate. The Oakland A's, who at one time were probably the hottest, the most pop. Would you say they were the most popular team? I mean, aside from the Yankees, maybe
and
even
the
though
Braves.
The Yankees, even though the Yankees weren't very good, in the late 80s, early 90s.
They were definitely the funnest team. And if social media existed in the 80s, the A's would have been much larger than what they were.
Well, and
because
and,
they were loaded with fun players. They were loaded with personalities. They had such a great team that, like, you could sit there and watch the A's at any given night. And at that point in time, you only watched them when they were on ESPN.
Right.
And you got excited when you looked at that TV guide
yeah.
in your local newspaper and seen that the A's were playing on that channel that night because of the personalities and the talent that they had.
And then people just a little bit older than us
mm-hmm.
would remember them from the 70s when Reggie Jackson yes. and Vida Blue and all those guys were playing, the white shoes and the loud uniforms.
I would just like to say the reason, like, you guys know that I'm a Dodger fan. The reason I am a Dodger fan, and I'll tell you right now, was the 1988 World Series. It was an 8-year-old kid, and it was Dennis Eckersley from the Oakland A's, and he was facing against Kirk Gibson in Game 1 of the 1988 World Series.
Yes.
And watching Kirk Gibson come out of the dugout when he wasn't even going to play, and he called Tommy Lasorda from inside the locker room into the dugout and said, "Put me in, Gip." And Tommy was like, "You know what? Screw it. That's my guy. Get out
yeah.
here. Get out here and take a slug."
One of the greatest plays of
and
all
Dennis
time.
And Dennis Eckersley, people don't realize at that point in time, he had a .67 ERA.
Yeah.
He was untouchable.
You could not touch him. And for Gibson to do that was a moment that it hooked me to baseball for life, and it made me the Dodger fan that I am today. But that Oakland A's team, if you go back and look at that 1988 Oakland A's team, the Dodgers had no business beating that team in the World Series.
Of course
that Oakland
not.
A's team was incredible, and you're not going to see a team like that come through baseball. And those Oakland A fans, they're incredible fans. That fan base, they're fading out as time goes on, and that goes strictly, in my opinion, on that city. That city of Oakland should have done more to keep that baseball team. There's no reason they're playing in the Oakland Coliseum to this day.
Right.
I don't know if you guys have heard this, but this may have been what drew the line to where they're like, screw it, we're moving to Vegas. A possum has taken over the opposing team's you guys are laughing. This is some serious shit. A possum has taken over the opposing team's radio broadcast booth to where opposing teams, their radio broadcasters cannot even go in the booth to broadcast
goodness.
A game on their radio station because a possum has completely taken, he is peeing and he is pooping.
Maybe
and
he
is biting people.
I'm thinking that's
and
plural.
No, it's a possum, not possums.
Well, he's one bad. Is he like
it
tap
is a,
it trice?
It is a opossum. And he is the tap it trice of possums. But
well.
he cannot, like, they will not remove this thing, and he has taken over, and it's gotten to the point where, like, I think that all Oakland people have thrown their hands up and said, "We can't do anything at this point. Go on and go to Vegas. You deserve better than what we can give you." And I don't know, man. I hate to see it happen because the Oakland A's are a team that will always have a special place in my heart as a baseball
sure.
fan. And it seems like Vegas is just absorbing professional sports at this point.
They are.
I respect it. I mean, get it, Vegas. Get it while you can. You've done enough, but I don't know. As a baseball hardo, it's hard. It's going to be hard to see the Las Vegas Athletics.
I don't think.
Which brings me to this point: if you relocate, you should not be able to keep the name of the team that you relocate to. I believe that.
That's interesting.
You should not be able to. If you
I've never
cities,
thought about that.
The moniker has to stay. It can't happen. The Browns, the Ravens, they changed their name. The Cleveland came back in. They took the Browns over. It should be that way.
I agree with you there.
So, that's all.
Good deal.
I don't
let
think
it
they,
out, Tuna.
I'm sorry. I'm venting.
I don't think they have possums in Las Vegas, so
apparently they do, okay. And it's a massive freaking possum. Oh, and in Oakland they do, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's in a scorpion's going to take over the
next. Is that like
food.
The rally monkey?
Yes, the rally possum. I'm telling you, if Oakland goes rally on a run possum? This year, they could capitalize on the rally possum.
Well,
I was just thinking about the fact when you brought up the Kirk Gibson play,
mm-hmm.
that is a unique instance of a television broadcast and a radio broadcast both having
the same call. Yeah.
Well, two of the most iconic calls in the history of baseball on the same play. You had Jack Buck.
Yes, sir.
You had Vin Scully.
Absolutely.
And Vin Scully's call, if I remember correctly, was something to the extent of, in the year of the improbable,
yes.
The impossible has happened.
Yes.
And then Jack Buck says something like, I can't believe what I just saw. I can't believe what I just saw. And for those two guys to be in that moment and call it that way, and both of them to still, you know, it lives up to, Jesus, what year was that?
1988.
So we're going on well over 30 years.
Yes.
And that moment will live for
the forever. Next,
yeah, for as long as people are watching baseball.
That was like, if you could rank my sports from top to bottom, I'm putting baseball number one. Obviously, college football would be number two. But Major League Baseball is number one. And I credit that my fandom to baseball to that one singular moment, being an eight-year-old kid and watching that. And my dad being like, it's past your bedtime. It's past your bedtime. And I'm like, the game's not over yet. The game's not over yet. And to being able to get to witness that happen, I don't know,
right,
man. That's
right.
That's the kind of things that makes people sports romantics.
And, yes.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
another
really
thing
is.
That had a lot to do with this is you're on one channel on your TV. You're not looking at it on your phone. You're not looking at it with social media.
Yeah, everybody's watching
it
on TV.
Everybody's watching one channel right there. That's all that's on. There isn't anything else going on any other channel sports-wise, even though it is going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we used to trade baseball cards like they were stocks back in the day.
Right.
So, like, you would be like, you could go through a year without watching these guys play, but when they were on ESPN that night and you seen them make a big play, you could trade that card or you could get some. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that moment, I had Kirk Gibson cards like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I was running the neighborhood, boys. I was running the neighborhood.
Just a minute.
Because all those Dennis Eckersley boys couldn't touch me.
Right.
Because I was like, I've got the Kirk cards.
And just so you know, I know this because I'm a past collector, Kirk Gibson's rookie is a Detroit Tiger card.
It was.
Well, of course. I mean, he won the 84. He won the 84 World Series with Sweet Lou Whitaker and Alan Trammell and Sparky Anderson. And
Jack, not to mention the bench-clearing brawl.
Jack Morris.
The bench-clearing brawl when he was the manager for the Arizona Diamondbacks,
yes,
against the Dodgers when
yes,
Yasiel Puig,
yes,
took his face and rubbed,
yes,
it against,
yes,
the,
yeah.
So there was a lot of great.
Hey, guys, give me your who's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft?
Well, that's what we're getting into next.
Oh, we're going right to the NFL.
I wanted to talk about the NFL. Now, I do want to let everybody know that next week we will be recording the podcast on Wednesday, the night before the draft. Just so we can get our last minute thoughts in there. I'm sure we'll.
Oh, yeah. We'll have a great draft episode.
Oh, I'm
going to
have a full on betting list for the NBA. NFL draft is like, that is my experience, boys and girls. Yeah. So I'm going to have a full on betting list for you guys to bet Thursday morning responsibly, of course.
All right, Freddie, Give me your number one pick in the NFL draft.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to say that it's Bryce Young, and I was hoping that he would be the third pick. And I mean, I was hoping that he would go to the Colts. I really want him to go to the Colts so I can go watch him play, and I think he's a great fit for that city and everything about it. But I get it. I think I'm going to hear Tuna say the same thing, but I'm passing that on to him now.
Yeah, I feel like the Panthers traded up for a reason. They traded up to get that number one pick because they want a quarterback. And the best quarterback in this draft is hands down Bryce Young.
Do you really think that that's true?
I truly believe that. Every other quarterback has question marks. I'm going to tell you right now, if I was going to rank the quarterbacks, the top three quarterbacks coming into this draft, I would say Bryce Young is number one. And a far second behind him is Hendon Hooker. And the number three behind him is Tanner McKee. Okay, I'm not buying Will Levis, and I'm not buying Anthony Richardson. Those guys.
What about Ohio State's quarterback?
Oh, look, he has done nothing other than that Georgia game to show that he can play. His ceiling is super high. The kid has all the athletic traits.
But you're saying he's getting.
But
really...
I'm gonna put him on the same scale as I will with Levis and Richardson, as the fact that. They have not shown me anything in college. Now, I will give C.J. Stroud the credit to say that game that he played against Georgia was maybe one of the best quarterbacked games I've seen. But that was one game out of, what, 16 that I've seen him play otherwise?
Against bad competition in the Big Ten.
Well, and put that guy in bad weather. What has he done in bad weather? What has he done in shaky weather? Nothing. You put him in a dome, you put him in inside, and the kid can compete. But he has a lot to prove. I would not feel comfortable. Bryce Young has a way that guy moves in the pocket. He delivers the ball on the run. He knows how to take a hit. He knows. Look, Bama's offensive line, I know you're going to have a problem with this. They were bad last year.
They were.
They were not good.
I know this.
They were not good.
No.
That kid showed more toughness.
He was the MVP
in season
of the team
last year than I've
seen
a Bama quarterback do in a while. So I would put Bryce Young. I'm not worried about his size. I'm not worried about none
of that.
I would Bryce Young and then everybody else. See, I would put Bryce Young right there with Drake May. And with your kid Caleb Williams from out there at USC. Those three quarterbacks are above everyone else. And two of them are going out next year. One of them's coming out this year.
You're telling me that the Colts should draft a guard or something and wait.
Grab Will Anderson.
And tank for next year.
Will Anderson.
I feel like, if I'm the Colts, I'm riding Gardner Minshew. I love Gardner Minshew. The kid can play. Give him a shot. Let him get out there. And worst things worst, the Colts finish with a top 10 pick and can get one of these guys next year.
I mean, I know you want that, but it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Ursay's stupid. He's going to do something stupid.
I think the
Colts
need
a quarterback.
He's going to get one of these
quarterbacks. Levis or Stroud, neither one of them is making it past Ursay.
Every time the Colts get a quarterback out of the draft that's a top pick, they seem to always do well with him.
Yeah,
well, they're not drafting Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck this time.
Well,
that's that. I mean, that's it. So,
if they could get Bryce Young, he could be that person.
Well, those two had no questions around them. There's way too many questions against every quarterback in this draft. They're not getting Bryce Young. The Panthers traded up for that. Look, if I'm stupid Tuna that's sitting here right now,
stupid Tuna
is saying that Bryce Young is head and shoulders above everyone else, I guarantee you the GMs, Vegas, everyone else is saying that this guy is above everyone else in this draft.
Right.
Jalen Carter is the only other surefire can't-miss talent in this draft.
Right. I mean, he's a beast.
Yes.
Well, and we are going to get into, obviously next week on Wednesday night, we'll be doing our full breakdown of the NFL draft.
And get into some NFL talk as well.
Yes.
Like There's a lot going on.
Jalen Hurts contract, get into Lamar and some of those guys.
Which, Yeah, I had a question for you guys earlier before we started recording.
Oh, here we go.
I was wondering where this was going to go, but after all the contract debate that's happened this week with Jalen Hurts getting his big payday, which that guy deserves every penny of it, but it came to light that Lamar Jackson has turned down basically the same contract. If you were the GM of an NFL team, just any random NFL team, take rosters out of it, which quarterback would you guys rather have as your starter, Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts?
Freddie.
Well, I'm going to weigh them both first off by I think that Jalen Hurts has proven that he can actually, which is so crazy to say, throws the long ball better. But he has way more receivers than – so there's really no way you can talk about it because you're not talking about the receivers that they have. Based on both of those players, I look at it one way. One quarterback is more apt to get hurt the way that he runs with the football. The other one benches like 400 and can fall forward and get fourth and ones anytime he wants to, fourth and twos. And it's amazing to watch. And I just
who has also been dealing with a shoulder injury.
Yeah,
correct?
But I worry about who, out the last I worry two about games who the could season? Get hurt more than the other one. And I think that Lamar would get hurt more than Hurts. But I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson because okay. I think he's a better talent and I love his will to win and I love him as a locker room guy. Just like, dude, they are the same when it comes to
just
all
like
that.
Luke Kornet.
Dude, hey, I'm not
big
saying,
Luke Kornet podcast
hey,
here.
If you don't think Jalen Hurts is a great locker room guy
if
and
Luke
someone
Kornet
that,
is not listening, I'm done.
I don't think there's any quarterbacks right now, even Aaron, and I'm talking definitely not Aaron Rodgers, but anyone that players would fall on a railroad track for than Jalen Hurts and Lamar. That's how much those defensive and offensive players love those guys.
I completely agree with
I mean,
that
there's
statement.
Maybe Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes for sure.
I don't think so. I don't
well,
think he doesn't
if
compare
there's a
in those
third
level
one,
with those
he's
guys
the
on
guy.
That
if there's
front.
A third guy, maybe Joe Burrow. He would probably fall.
You'll
there's,
never see
your top four.
Defensive players hype up their quarterback
right.
at Kansas City the way that they do in Philly and the way that they do
right,
in Baltimore.
Right. They just
I totally agree
over.
With what you just said.
So it's a very hard question.
Yeah.
It really is. Mm-hmm. But they do have different styles, and I think one's more apt to get hurt than the other. And I think that's Lamar, but I have to go with Lamar. Travis?
Well, and I've looked at this question three different ways where originally I was thinking about being surrounded by the talent that they're surrounded by now. And Jalen Hurts obviously has proven that given the talent that he has, he can lead them to a world championship, and Lamar has not at this point. But I was thinking about this while we were recording tonight, and I thought if the Colts had an opportunity to get Hurts or Lamar Jackson, who would I want them to get? And immediately I said, I want Lamar Jackson. I mean, it was an obvious answer for my team, given where they're at right now. And it's interesting because when you asked me that earlier tonight, as I said, oh, well, I want Jalen Hurts. But then I thought from a standpoint, and you said a generic NFL team. The Colts right now are a pretty generic NFL team.
No arguments here, yeah.
And I think Lamar lifts Indianapolis immediately further than Hurts does. And that's not discounting Jalen Hurts as a football player at all. I want to get that out there.
No, the guy's amazing. Like I said, he's worth every penny of that contract.
But I did think of it in that particular way, and I said, well, if the Colts had an opportunity to get either one of them, I want Lamar Jackson yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yeah, I see. I don't even think this is a debate. I think the answer's cut and clear. And let's just visualize for a second that you put Lamar Jackson on the Philadelphia Eagles team from last year with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders,
all those running
Kenneth
back.
Gainwell, and
a great defense that keeps them off the
and
field.
And a great defense, and that offensive play call. Now, the right. Ravens have had great defense before, but he's never
true.
Had
they have. You're
like
right. They have had a good defense in Baltimore.
I feel like no one beats that Philadelphia team. I feel like they go undefeated and just crush. I feel like Lamar is such a difference maker, and that's not to take away, like Travis said.
Part of it's his drive, too.
Jalen Hurts has exceeded expectations coming out of college. What that guy's done is absolutely incredible, and he may be my second favorite quarterback in the league just from what he's done and the doubts and the everything coming into it. But Lamar is on a different level, and I have to say, all this contract talk, it's almost made him one of the most disrespected quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
Because every time I turn on the radio, I hear about Lamar's asking for too much because he can't do this, he can't do that, he's going to get hurt, he's going to do this. Every quarterback gets hurt, guys.
I know.
Jalen Hurts has been hurt. Patrick Mahomes has been hurt. Everybody's been hurt. Okay, Lamar has done so much for his body. If you look at him when he was at Louisville to what he is now physically.
Right.
And what he has done as a passer. People don't look at his passer rating since he's been in the NFL with no wide receivers. No wide receivers. What's his best wide receiver?
Is a tight end.
Since he's been at Baltimore was maybe Hollywood Brown.
Yes.
Who they traded
right.
away.
And
right.
then they got
okay?
rid of him.
And now you have Rashad Bateman, who you drafted, who has been hurt every year since. Now, we're going to learn a lot with Odell Beckham this year.
And Sammy Watkins.
Well, we know you love those Clemson boys. But I feel like...
Pizza party.
I feel like this is the easiest discussion ever about who would you take. And I've heard so much Jalen Hurts talk that it almost makes me sick in my stomach because Lamar is the easiest answer here.
Right.
I don't know how.
I'm glad that all three of us actually.
I really am. I love that.
But I also think it depends on how you frame the question because I thought about it and I answered it two different ways based on how we framed the question before and then thinking about just a quote-unquote generic NFL team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from that standpoint, the answer is obvious.
Oh, situationally, I can name probably 10 teams in the NFL out of 30 that I'd rather have Jalen Hurts for.
Right.
But there's 20 other ones that I'd rather have Lamar for.
Yep.
So it is situational when you do that. But I'm just saying, if you are, say, starting an NFL franchise, which one of those two would you have?
Yep. And I think we all agree.
I love seeing that it all go to Lamar here. So that's all I got.
Drink on Louisville talk.
Cheers.
Drink.
Cheers.
Guys, I'm going to throw it
Spring
around the
game
horn.
Friday night.
I'm going to throw it around the horn quickly. Fred, do you have any final thoughts? Anything going into this week that you'd like to talk about right at the end here?
Well, I really do not. I like to sometimes do what Tuna goes, I got nothing for you. But I do think that if there was one other horse,
I love it,
then it could be an X factor.
I used to date
it. It is the long shot that has great breeding that won to get into the Derby, and his name is Lord Miles. Keep an eye on a 35-1 shot, folks.
Is it a British horse?
It just ran a great race
is
last time out. No, he is not British. His name is Lord Miles. Check it out. That horse won in distinctive style over two good horses. And one of them was Hit Show, who's going to have pretty good odds in the Derby. I'd say maybe 15-18 to 1. And that horse just has real good breeding and kind of came out of nowhere. There you go.
All right. I've got one thing, and this is basically a future bet for the NFL draft. I would get in on it while you can early. This comes to Kansas City, first position that they draft, plus 1,800 for a tight end. Obviously, the Chiefs are looking to replace Travis Kelce in the next 2 to 3 years. It takes 2 to 3 years for a tight end to fully develop in the NFL, and this is the maybe deepest tight end class that we've had in the NFL draft in my lifetime. There's more athleticism, more than polished route running that I've ever seen. I would, if Michael Mayer or the Kincaid kid from Utah is available when they draft, they're going to take them. So that's my slot.
And that's plus what?
1,800.
Wow.
Man, so that's awesome.
A $10 bet wins you $180.
That's definitely something to pay attention to.
Yes.
I want to thank everybody for listening, for telling a friend. Don't forget, we are on social media, at BlockoutPod on Twitter. Type Blockout Sports Pod into your Facebook search engine. Check us out. Give us a follow. Give us a 5-star rating if you can on wherever you get your podcasts. Reminder, we will be recording next Wednesday prior to the NFL draft. We will have a full NFL draft preview on next Wednesday.
Bets galore.
And it will come out Thursday at 1 o'clock.
It
around
will.
One.
Bets galore.
It will come out on Thursday prior to the draft. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. For the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kemp, and for the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying so long, everybody.